All right, guys. Hi, my name's Kathy. I'm a fourth-year medical student at UCSF, so it's a big honor to be here. I'm excited to talk about an online alternative to measuring food environments. Sort of a counterpoint to what they did, which was very detailed in-store surveys. I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit by way of introduction, which they pretty much already laid out, but you know, clearly differences in food environment could contribute to disparities in obesity rates between population groups, and neighborhoods with different racial or social and economic makeup may lead to differing access to fruits and vegetables, as they have clearly illustrated. And I'll be throwing around the term food deserts a little bit, so I just wanted to introduce it for anyone who hasn't already heard of it yet. But food deserts are neighborhoods that have no access to healthy or like fresh fruits and vegetables. And food swamps I won't be talking about as much, but are another related concept that you know, a neighborhood that has an imbalance of exposure to unhealthy foods compared to fresh fruits and vegetables, which sounds like New Orleans is. Studying the food environment can be a real challenge, even though it's very important, because the techniques and the measures that we have for measuring the food environment are either flawed or very difficult to execute. Two most common methods of studying the food environment. One is the field census, which is can be as detailed as going into the store, evaluating product placement and product selection, or walking the streets and analyzing store types. So it's definitely the most accurate, can be as detailed as they want, but it's very time-consuming and labor-intensive, and I would be curious later to figure out, you know, how many person hours was required for your study. The other end of the spectrum is to use data from a commercial database, which is a lot less accurate, but much faster, less labor-intensive. You just have to clean some data. So one study in 2012 noted that out of 102 quote-unquote small grocery stores, when they did a field census of those 102, found four large grocery stores, only 17 small grocery stores, about half of them were convenience stores, and up to 15 stores were just not food stores or like couldn't be located. So that gives you a sense of how inaccurate these sort of commercial databases could be. So in defining the food environment, we can look at a couple, or five different dimensions listed here. And for each one, we can sort of ask a question. So for availability, what is the supply of food stores? What kinds of food stores are available? Accessibility, you know, how easy is it to get to this supermarket or compared to a convenience store? Affordability is pretty self-explanatory. Acceptability, you know, how much do people like what the selection of the products is. And then finally, accommodation, sort of how flexible are the stores in, you know, changing their product selection and what sort of are the hours convenient, things like that. So for the purpose of my study, I'm going to focus on sort of availability and accessibility. This is just sort of a visual representation of what I sort of talked about already, how field census is the most accurate but most costly in terms of time and labor, and then database listings are much less accurate but much quicker to use. So our question was, where do web-based map tools fall in this spectrum, and are they some sort of a good intermediate or tool, or you know, can we increase the accuracy without too much increasing the time and the cost required to study? So the aims of my talk today are to compare the accuracy of secondary data sources to online maps in measuring the food environment in a large metropolitan area, New York City, and to explore the implications of using flawed commercial database information in food environment research, and finally to discuss some of the limitations of using online mapping tools to assess the food environment. So to give a little bit of background on how we identified the study area, my original project was to do an independent evaluation of the New York City Green Cards Program, which is a New York City Department of Health initiative that established mobile produce carts within certain areas of New York City. And these areas are the shaded neighborhoods, so northern Manhattan and Harlem, most of the Bronx, a few parts of Queens, and north and central Brooklyn. And these areas are neighborhoods that where residents report very low fruit and vegetable consumption, have questionable low fruit and vegetable access, and high rates of obesity and related illnesses. So we looked at all of the stores within those neighborhoods and a half mile out to sort of represent the food environment within walking distance of residents in those neighborhoods. So this is a little bit of a confusing slide, but we started out with the database, the InfoUSA database of retail stores within the study area listed by industry classification code. And on the left is sort of our control group or our comparison group, which we based off of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, sort of how they classify food retailers. So they defined healthy stores as using this certain industry classification code with 10 or more employees. It's intended to capture sort of supermarkets and large grocery stores. And then they called unhealthy stores the same store code, which is nationally just for grocery stores, a generic term. But they looked at, they said stores with three or fewer employees were probably unhealthy stores, such as bodegas and convenience stores. And to me, this cutoff seemed a little bit arbitrary, but that's what they did. They also included in their sort of analysis of the food environment, fruit and vegetable markets, which have their own code, and then warehouse clubs like Costco. So for our classification, we started with the same list, but instead of using these sort of arbitrary employee number cutoffs, what we did was we actually went through went through the list and identified each store using Google Maps, looked up the address, and saw went down to the street view level on Google Maps and looked for evidence of stores selling fruits and vegetables. So that's how we decided whether this is actually a healthy or an unhealthy store. We did several other categories of stores, which I'll go into in a second. And then we also looked up additional supermarkets using online store locator tools. So going to, for example, the Associated Supermarket website and looking up any other locations that weren't already on our database list, and there were many. And finally, we validated 5% of the stores on the list using field surveys to see how accurate our method was. So a couple of examples really quick of sort of these are screenshots taken from Google Street View of sort of, you could just type in the address and, this will pop up and you're like, okay, this is clearly a supermarket. These are some we classified as non-chain or independent grocery stores. This happens to be an Asian supermarket. Fruit and vegetable markets are very easy to identify on Google Maps. Usually they have fruits and vegetables out front. Warehouse clubs, also very easy. Convenience stores, so a lot of the stores that were classified under this grocery store industry code looked like this, which it's not zoomed in and the resolution is not very high, but you can see there's advertising for sandwiches, beer, usually there's lottery tickets and cigarettes. Cultural stores we identified as, they were also listed under this sort of grocery store code, but they have no evidence of selling any sorts of fruits and vegetables, mostly dry goods and cultural goods. Fast food restaurants. We created this separate category called wholesalers that ended up on this sort of supposedly grocery store code. Hunts Point is like where all of the grocers in New York go to source their fruits and vegetables, and it's not open to the public. So there were a lot of those stores on the list as well. Finally, we categorized sort of non-food retail, a dollar store that was mislabeled as a grocery store, and addresses that we couldn't find, duplicate stores, et cetera. So a quick summary of our results. We identified many, many more supermarkets than the USDA method using sort of their employee cutoff. A lot of grocery stores, going back and looking, had only like 4 employees, and so they weren't really counted in their method. We also found a few more independent grocers and a few fewer fruit and vegetable markets. Overall, we found 69% more healthy food stores compared to the USDA method. We also found over 300 either totally misclassified stores or stores that didn't exist or were unable to locate. Our field survey, we validated our study using a field survey of 2 randomly chosen zip codes within Manhattan and the Bronx. And in the field survey, we didn't find any additional, we didn't find any healthy, really, truly healthy stores that we had accidentally miscategorized as unhealthy in our method. So, but we did find that a lot of stores were totally missed by our method. And I'll go into sort of some of the why that is. Our study showed that secondary data sources provide variably inaccurate information on the food environment, consistent with prior research, and there was a lot of undercounting of stores, overcounting of certain categories, total misclassification, and duplicates. Some of the potential implications for public health of this research is that it could change sort of the classification of whether or not a neighborhood is a food desert or a food swamp. And it will hopefully allow for easier analysis of the food environment, since a lot of these areas, larger areas, geographic areas, could be studied with less time and less cost. Some limitations in our study. So there was a difference in sort of the time frame that we captured in terms of the data compared to the Google Maps images, and also in terms of our validation. We also had a limited geography. We only did the study in New York City, and we only validated it in 2 zip codes. A lot of the stores that, as I mentioned, were not counted by either method, and we think this was because we started with a database, and while we were able to add in some other supermarkets that are available online, we didn't have a complete starting list. This could be addressed by sort of, instead of doing a street census or field census, you could just walk virtually along street segments on Google Maps. And it would still be a lot faster than hiring 2 people to go drive around. Another limitation of this method is that it doesn't address sort of the other dimensions that I talked about, sort of affordability of the store, or of the products, what is the acceptability or the selection of the products, and the accommodation. So in conclusion, the use of online web maps alone or in conjunction with commercial database information will allow for faster, cheaper, more accurate characterization of food environments. And this will be hopefully useful for researchers and public health departments, and will only continue to improve as the technology improves. As far as future directions, I hope to further validate sort of street view images compared to in-store surveys to see how well those compare. It'll be interesting to compare the food environment landscape via different methods and to do a cost-benefit analysis of sort of what is the accuracy trade-off versus the time benefit in this method. So I wanted to acknowledge my mentors, without whom this would not have been possible. Thank you very much.